And certainly appreciate your prayers. Tomorrow, when I'm going to the bank to discuss getting financing for the Orthodox Church there, just pray if it is the Lord's will that it'll all come together. And that's something we can have confidence in, that if it is the Lord's will, it will come together. And that is a good thing. All right, let's begin Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you that you would help us to understand it, that it would be clear in our lives, or clear to us that we can apply it to our lives, Lord. And we just pray you would bless now as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Past few weeks, we've been, continuing through defining doctrines, and we've been focusing on the Holy Spirit, his indwelling, his filling. And then we spoke about spiritual gifts last week. And we want to deal with a concept that it's kind of scattered throughout the New Testament, but it is a very important concept when it comes to being used of the Lord, serving Him, even being filled with the Spirit and being empowered for service. So we want to understand this principle. And this is something that Paul speaks of, that he says that I am crucified with Christ. And it's something we know that he's not speaking in literal sense, that he was crucified physically with the Lord. We actually know that when he suffered a martyr's death, even though many others like Andrew and Peter were crucified, that he was beheaded. And of course, he couldn't say that at this point because he's still alive. But what he's speaking of is spiritually. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And he recognized that it wasn't him that lived, but instead it was Christ that lived in him. And the life which he now lived in the flesh, he would live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so this concept that we want to deal with this evening is what we could term the crucified life. This idea, as Paul, that we are to follow in the steps of Christ, that we are to learn of him, that we are to in a sense die to the old man, die to sin and die to self, so that God can use us and bless us. We first want to see that this idea of being crucified spiritually, that it's a recognition of what Christ has accomplished by his death, burial, and resurrection. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, and beginning in verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, we see with this principle that it says that we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. Like, we understand as Christians that we still have the old sin nature within us, that it still has power in our lives. And we actually see in Romans chapter 7 that Paul speaks of this, of how we see in verse 18 that he said that, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That he had this desire to do right, but then something would stop him from doing it. He had this desire to stop doing what was wrong, and yet he found that he couldn't do that. And he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we recognize that we have this sin nature within us, but what we understand is that our whole principle of what Christ has done, practically, positionally, is that we are dead to sin, that we have been made free from its shackles. And we understand that as a Christian, that we are saved first of all from the penalty of sin when we first trust in Christ as Savior. But then day by day He desires for us to be saved from the power of sin in our daily life. That's the idea of sanctification. And so this thought that we have, and that's the commitment that we make when we are baptized, that it's a symbol, it's a way of showing what's gone on already. The thought that when we're immersed in the water, that we're buried with Him by baptism in death, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. That's our pattern. That's our desire that we're saying when we are baptized, that I want to live a new life now. I don't want to be tied to that old life anymore. And we see in Romans 6 verse 5, it says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And we have that sense. He that is dead is free from sin. He gave the example in the first part of Romans chapter 7 of how someone who is married, that they're bound to their spouse as long as they live, but once that spouse is dead, then that they're free to marry another. And it's the same that we have, that because we're dead to sin, that we're freed from that power, that we're not bound to it anymore. And it's that thought that the Lord has done a work in our lives, the work has, God had, because of what Jesus did on the cross, the shedding of His blood, that we understand that we can be free from the power of sin in our lives, and that it is something that we need to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto God, that we have a new life, that we think of the resurrection, we think of it in terms of that great day that'll come when we'll have a brand new body. But the Lord wants us to understand that we're spiritually resurrected right now, that we have new life in Christ, we have a new purpose, and that we don't need to be bound unto it anymore. And it's something that I know in my own Christian life, that there's been times that I struggled with things, and it was something I remember saying to the Lord, "Well, this is kind of what I see in the Scriptures of what I should be, what I could be, and then this is what I am." And I say, "Well, what's the problem?" It's sort of like you think, "Well, maybe my Bible's broken, that it's not working for me like it should." But Lord just kind of said to me, "Well, that's, you need to understand that that's who you are by faith, is one that's having victory over sin, that's, it isn't where we are right now, but when we step out in faith, where we take a look and see what God has done, this great victory that He's wrought in our life, that He has given us a new nature, He's given us the Holy Spirit within us, that we think of in those terms, it's two against one now, that the odds are in our favor, that we can have victory, and we know that one of the two is the Holy Spirit of God Himself, and so we understand that we can be free from sin. And so that is the thought of having a crucified life, that we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, that different things in our own life, different sinful habits that have plagued us for years, that we come to the Lord by faith and say, "Well, I know what You've done in my life. I know that You have the power to free me from this." And that by faith we say, "Well, I'm not going to allow that to have power over me anymore," that we reckon ourselves dead to it, that we don't think, "Well, I've fallen into this trap so often that there's no way out of it." But the Lord says, "No, I've given you that freedom. I've broken those shackles so that you can have a life of liberty in Christ." And we understand the crucified life, it is not only being dead to sin, but is also being dead to self. And we understand that all sin, if you bring it down to its basic roots, that its roots are in selfishness and in pride, that we want to get noticed, we want to be important, we want something for us at the expense of someone else. And we realize that truly, with all the different things that can happen in the Christian life to undermine us. There can be different people that we might look to that might be an adversary. We look at the devil and all his temptations that he gives us, but I think our greatest enemy is the enemy within. Our own selfishness, that even when we're trying to serve the Lord, that we're doing it to get noticed, we're doing it to get praised by men, that all of that hinders and hampers God's work in our life. And so when we learn to be dead to ourselves, that we have a life that's a life of humility, a life of meekness, a life that's willing to be patient in enduring personal attacks and injury, that it isn't about us anymore, that it's about Him, it's about serving the Lord, and that we don't have to get noticed, we don't have to get praised, we don't have to even have any reward in this life, that we can just expect, well, I'll be faithful, and the Lord's going to look after that in the end. And so we learn that, to be dead to sin and to be dead to self. And this idea, this concept of a crucified life, we recognize that it is crucial as we seek to follow the Lord. It is a crucial step of discipleship. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and beginning in verse 23, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking, Luke 9:23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And it's this thought that if we're to follow the Lord, if we're to be His disciple, if we're to follow His steps, that He says, well, we need to deny ourselves, that we need to say no to our fleshly desires, to our desires to be noticed, the desire to get attention. All of our desires, plans, and agendas, what we want to do with our life, that we yield those to the Lord, because we realize we're bought with a price, that we have something that He wants for us to do. And we see the phrase that take up His cross daily and follow me, and sometimes I think we have the understanding where we're told that we have a cross to bear, that it's kind of the thought of, well, some difficult thing in our life that we have to carry, that it's a burden that we're stuck with, that we just have to work it through. And usually what it always is if there's a spouse that's good and they have their spouse is annoying or has these bad habits, that it's like that's their cross to bear throughout the rest of their life. And we want to understand that that's totally not what the Bible is speaking of at all when it speaks of bearing our cross. We think of with the Lord that when He came to this earth that He had a purpose. He had something He was to do. And that even though He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. He was willing to do what His Father wanted, that He had this purpose in His life, this task that He was to fulfill, and so He took up His cross willingly, and He fulfilled what the Lord would have Him to do. And it's the same thought that with us, that the Lord has something that He wants us to do, that He created us for a purpose, that you can think that when He formed us, He knew who we were, He knew what talents He had, He's the one that gave them to us. He knew in His foreknowledge that we would come to Him, and He said, well, I want this person to accomplish something for me. That's what I've built them for, that's what I've designed them for. And so it's to deny ourselves, that we give control of our lives over to Him and say, okay, well, what is it that you want me to fulfill? What is this cross you want me to bear? And when we find out what that is, that we step out in faith and we fulfill it. That it isn't a drudgery. It isn't something, oh, well, I have to do this for the rest of my life, but no, instead, this is what I was made for. This is what the Lord has had planned for me from the time that He created me, and even before then in His foreknowledge. And so that we do that, it says, take up his cross daily and follow me. And that it says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And we find so often that in the scriptures and in the spiritual realm, that kind of what we think is the opposite of the way God thinks, because His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And that's the idea that sometimes we think, well, I need to hold on to my life. I don't need to take a risk. I don't need to step out. I'm comfortable here. I want to stay in this place. But what we find, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But it says, whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. To take that risk, to step out in faith, not knowing what's going to happen. And to do that, that the idea that one will save it, one will find their life, that they'll find the purpose that God had for them, and they'll be satisfied. And it can even be sometimes a willingness to suffer, but we realize that it'll be worth it in the end. And it's the thought that we have that we want to follow the Lord, that it's a sense where we can be wandering in the wilderness in our Christian life, but when we take this step in following the Lord, it's like we cross over the Jordan, we're in the promised land where there's this possession that the Lord has for us, that He wants us to partake of, and that there's going to be battles to fight, but He's with us as we fight, and that we do that, that we step forward by faith, and we give Him first choice in our lives, and follow what He would have us to do. And I remember my mom, she had a plaque on the wall in our house, and it said, God always gives His best to those who leave the choice to Him. And that's something that's very true, that if we give ourselves over to the Lord and say, well, there might be things I want to do with my life, Lord, but I want to follow You. I want to take up my cross and fulfill what You would have for me to do, that when we do that, we find that we have the true satisfaction that we always desired to have. And we see, not only is this idea of a crucified life, is it a crucial step of discipleship, we see that it's also a key to fruitfulness in the Christian life. If you turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and we're going to begin in verse 23. John 12, 23, it says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And we see this principle that you can have whenever you plant a garden or whatever you plant a crop, that you put the seed in the ground, and we understand that it has to germinate, it has to break forth, and when the plant grows, there's not going to be really anything left of that little seed to be noticed or paid attention to, but we see when it germinates, when it dies, and it brings forth much fruit. And it's the same thought in our own life, that when we take this step, when we die to ourselves, that's when we really can have great fruitfulness in our life, that the Lord really blesses us, that if we love our lives, that we'll lose it, but if we hate our lives in this world, we shall keep it unto life eternal. That when we, and that's the thought that, because if we have our pride that we want to do things to get noticed, and we serve the Lord and it doesn't seem like we're getting noticed, then we can stop serving the Lord. If sometimes we serve the Lord and we're hoping to get a response, even a thank you from people, and we find instead that our good deeds are returned with evil, that someone treats us wrong when we've been trying to do only right to them, that sometimes our pride can get hurt, our feelings can get hurt, and we withdraw. And that keeps us from serving the Lord. But yet, when we're dead to ourselves, when we're willing to suffer anything for the cause of Christ, that we don't take it personally, that's when we can continue on and the Lord can bless our ministry. I want to read you, this is a quote from a story of the life of George Mueller. And it says, on September 18th, 1838, something happened that changed George Mueller's life. And I think most of you know George Mueller. He was the one that, he was a man of great prayer. He was the one that ran the orphanages in England. And it was always something that it seemed like they didn't have any food, that they didn't have any money. And it was always kind of at the last minute he'd be praying and he'd just say, well, Lord's going to provide. And they'd be thanking the Lord for the food when there wasn't a scrap on the table. And then someone would knock on the door and they'd have bread or milk or whatever they might need. And it says that of George Mueller, they had spent every cent they had on food. They had been praying, but nothing was given toward this need. If nothing came in that day, they would have to start selling their possessions to get money for food. Just then came a knock at the door. How good to meet you, Mr. Mueller, the lady began. I have a parcel from my daughter here. I ask your forgiveness. I have been living next to the boys' home for several days and have forgotten to bring it to you. In the package was found enough money for their needs. George was so encouraged, he later wrote that the money had been so near the orphan houses for several days without being given is a plain proof that it was from the beginning in the heart of God to help us. But because he delights in the prayers of his children and to strengthen our faith, he had allowed us to pray so long. George never worried about the provision for the children again, although they were this slow many times over the next years. And of this day, George Mueller said years later, there was a day when I died. Utterly died. Died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame, even of my brethren and friends. And since then, I have studied only to show myself approved unto God. And this is what made George Mueller a great man. And so it's that thought that we, when we die to ourselves, we die to the desire to be noticed, that's when the Lord can really start using us, that we can really make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. And so we understand that if we are to follow in Christ's footsteps, if we're to follow in Paul's footsteps, where he says that I am crucified with Christ, that it's a decision that we have to make in our lives, a commitment that we have to undergo. And we see that in Romans chapter 12. And again, this is Paul speaking. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's something that we make that decision, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we give it over to the Lord, to Him to do as He pleases, and that is our reasonable service. It is what He desires of us, and it is we understand that as we do that, and as we're not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we understand that this is a decision that we have to come to in our Christian life, and we understand that it is also a decision to be maintained. It's something that had a pastor, he made the statement that the problem with a living sacrifice is that it tends to get up off the altar. And that's so often what happens, that we give ourselves to the Lord, but then something comes up and we take it back. And it is something that we want to understand that it is something that we are to continually do. It speaks of in 1 Corinthians 15:31. Paul said, I die daily. That it was something that he had to continue to do. That each day as he started the morning, that he would die to himself. That he would focus on serving the Lord. And really, just with all of it, we understand. Just even the ability to be able to love other people. That if we have any source of selfishness in us, then that'll taint our love. It'll make it difficult to love them as we ought to, but when we're able to die to ourselves, then the Lord can enable us to do that. And I had an illustration. It was actually my father-in-law that shared it. And there is this one man. He had a neighbor nearby that was acting kind of strange, and he'd kind of see him over the fence. And every morning, what his neighbor would do is he'd come out to his backyard and he'd dig this hole. And he'd wonder, well, what is he doing? And then the guy would shout, "Now get in there!" And then he'd fill it back up again. And so he saw him doing this 2 or 3 days, and he said, "Well, this guy's crazy. What is he doing?" So he yelled, "Hey!" And his neighbor thought that he was seen, and so he was all sensitive, kind of going red and everything else, kind of embarrassed. And he said, "Well, what are you doing?" And he says, "Well, this is just something that I do every day, that I want to die to the flesh. I want to die to sin, die to self. And so I dig this hole, and then I tell him to get in there. And then I bury it up, and then I proceed through my day." And he says, "Well, why do you have to do it every day?" And he says, "Well, he keeps seeming to raise himself back up again every night." And so it is that thought, that it is to be maintained. It is something that we have a vigilance over life, that we keep our body under subjection, lest by any means after we've preached to others that we ourselves would become a castaway. That we realize that sin nature within us, that it doesn't want to stay dead, it wants to resurrect itself, but by the power of the Lord we can keep it down, that we can put it to death, we can have victory over it. And we see that if you turn with me, lastly, to Colossians chapter 3. And it speaks, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And we see verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." It's that thought that we mortify our members, that we see these sins of our heart, these things that crop up, the sins that so easily beset us, that we lay them aside, that we mortify them, we put them to death, that it's we change. It's, you can kind of think of it sometimes, sins can almost be like a pet to us. And you know how we treat a pet, that you endure a great deal of things. I know with our dog, that he's a pup still, and you find so many things that he's chewed up. And I know I put the trash in the barrel, and I thought, well, it should be safe, but he's tall enough now, he can get in there and make a big mess of it. But he's a pet, and so you endure it. And but yet, something that's a pest, you don't endure it at all. I know with the mice that were in our house, that it was like total war. You wanted to exterminate them, you wanted to get them out, you wanted to close up every hole so they couldn't get back in. And it's that way with sin in our life, that we make that decision. There, it's no longer a pet to us, no something that we entertain, that we feed, that we try to nurture in any way, but that instead it says, this is something that's is against what the Lord wants from me. It's an offense to Him. This is going to hamper my service to the Lord, that I need to get rid of it, that I need to have victory over it. And we struggle with it day by day. It keeps rearing its head again, but then each day, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we put it to death, that we realize because of what Christ has done, we have that power. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is a fire within us that just wants to burn that part of us right out. And so we allow Him to work. We quench not the Spirit. and we're made each day more and more like Him, that it's as we're sanctified, as we purify ourselves by His power, that the Lord changes us and makes us, and we find that as we serve Him, that there is so much more fruit, that the Lord just enables us to do so much more than we thought that we could. And we can look back on our life and see, well, it came because at some point in my Christian life that I did make this decision, that I wasn't going to just kind of toy with this. I was going to step out. I was going to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him. And when we do that, then that's when we're able to be used of God in the way that He desires for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for Your many blessings. We thank You for this principle. We pray that You would help us to apply it. Or even myself, Lord, that would die to self and to sin and just be used of You. Lord, we just pray You would help all of us, Lord, that we would follow You as we ought to, Lord, and strengthen us throughout the week to come, Lord, that we would be honoring and bring glory to You in all that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we'll turn to hymn number 288 and sing I Am Resolved, hymn 288.